Well, praise God. We are celebrating Pentecost Sunday. Turn to your neighbor and say, Happy Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, it's a major event in the early church, and it should be for us today. It's very relevant for us 2,000 years later, over 2,000 years later. And so what is the big deal about Pentecost Sunday? Well, let's go over to John 16. And I seem to have been ministering a lot from John 13 through 17. And again, these are some of my favorite chapters in the Gospels. Again, it's Jesus at the Last Supper, giving the last words, the last instructions, the last teaching and training before he's going to go to the cross. And so it's a very important time. And so there's just a lot packed into these verses here. And so, of course, he's going to talk about the Holy Spirit, because that's going to be very important for them in the days to come. So John 16, verse 7 says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. And I'm just trying to imagine the disciples hearing that from Jesus. And that makes no sense to them. How does that going to help them? This is the master. This is Jesus. I mean, performed so many miracles that all the books, you know, volumes of books can contain all the miracles. So many things. I mean, talk about a power-packed 3.5 years of ministry and time together, and they were just so close. And so they just don't really grasp what he's saying here. It's to your advantage that I go away. He's about to tell you, why is it to your advantage? If I do not go away, the Helper, that's the Holy Spirit, talked about that last week, will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. So it's an amazing plan from God that instead of having just one man filled with the Spirit, and you can read about Jesus and how his life changed after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. His ministry, dramatic change happened. You know, this is the Son of God. When the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was filled with the Spirit. But the amazing plan is, instead of just the Holy Spirit being on one man, now the Holy Spirit can be upon people throughout the earth. And you see how that messes up the enemy's plan. God can be working and moving in every city, every town, every village, all throughout the earth, all at the same time. So it's an amazing plan. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not the first time the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit was involved in things, we can go back to Genesis. Involved in people's lives and coming upon the prophet, the priest, the king. And so it's not the first time that he came, but it's the first time that he comes to fill believers. And this and then let's go back to John 14, and this is going to show you the impact of the filling of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And a lot of times we'll stop there. We like to break up, and I understand, you can't just read all the chapters. But let's keep on reading here. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. So there's a connection with the helper, the comforter, the Spirit of God, and greater works. Doing the greater works. And it's God's plan for all the believers to do the greater works. God wants to work in you, but then he wants to work through you. Now let's keep on going here in Luke 24. You know, the most famous part of the Great Commission is probably Matthew 28. And we talk a lot about Mark 16. But there's also a part of the Great Commission here in Luke 24, verse 46. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued," that word means clothed, "with power from on high." So he's talking to them about waiting in Jerusalem. And we know, we'll read it in just a minute, about waiting in Jerusalem in the upper room, waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit. But he says that you will be endued, which means clothed. You'll be clothed. You'll be covered with the Holy Spirit. He says you'll be clothed with power. Everybody say power. Now, this word power is the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. And we all know about dynamite. Dynamite is power. Dynamite is explosive. This word means strength, power, ability. But the main emphasis of this word in the early church, and it should be for us today, is miraculous power. Miraculous power. Power to perform miracles. Miracles come on the scene and they change a natural circumstance, make it better. A miracle in your body brings healing. Miracle in your mind opens up things and brings healing and brings light and brings revelation. A miracle in your finances brings provision. A miracle when you're in danger brings deliverance. A miracle to a demon-possessed person is freedom from the demons. So that's the power of God. Miraculous power comes on the scene and is from God. It's not created by man. It's a supernatural thing. It comes on the scene and it changes what's in its path. It transforms. It explodes with God's goodness and his love and his and all that he is. So Jesus is saying, go to Jerusalem, wait there, and you'll be endued, you'll be clothed with power, you'll be clothed with dunamis, with dynamite power, explosive power, miraculous power. Now, so this is good news. And this is important to the Great Commission. If we're going to go to the nations and preach the gospel and make disciples, we can't leave out the dunamis power. We're going to need that power. Now, let's go over to the book of Acts. One of the possible names for the book of Acts, and they were talking about this when they were, you know, discussing the name of the book, was the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. That's an interesting name, isn't it? The Good News of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, miracles, by being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water. So there's a baptism with water, which we had that last Sunday. But you shall be baptized. And what does the word baptism mean? Now, when I baptize, and Pastor Nate's the same way, when we baptized people last week, it was no sprinkling. There was no like getting a little bit wet here. No, I mean, we dunked them. And I like to hold them under just for an extra second or two. They are totally under the water. Because we're baptized means to immerse. So there's the baptism with water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he's talking about another baptism. Baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they, and it says at one point, baptism with fire. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, and fire is a representation of the Holy Spirit, but it's an interesting representation. I mean, fire burns. Fire is consuming. Now, so Jesus says all this. Now look at what the response of the disciples is. In verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together and asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? The kingdom to Israel. And so there's this mentality among, and they asked Jesus this a lot. I said, are you the son of David? They wanted to know, is he in the lineage of David? Is he connected with David? Because they believed that the Messiah was going to restore the political power, the military power that was at the time of David, and restore it to the Jews. That's the mentality. And so the disciples are looking back to David, and Jesus is looking to the future of the church, which is the hope, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you just see, they're just not on the same page. And I appreciate Jesus. We probably would have, if we're teaching somebody and they're just so opposite to what we're saying, we'd probably get mad. Wouldn't you be a little frustrated? We've done all this teaching. We just had all, you know, John 13 through 17, all that I've taught you. We come to this place, and then this is what you have to say. Then he goes, and then he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. He gets them back on track. But you shall receive power. You shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. That's the purpose for the power, to be a witness. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You shall receive miracle power to be a witness, to be a witness for Christ, to do greater works. I would say to you today, we need the miracle power more than ever. I would say today, we need the supernatural more than ever. We need a demonstration of power more than ever. We don't need less miracles. We need more. You know, and so if we're looking at the 120 that it was in the upper room, I think really it may be an indication of many in the church today. Shouldn't be that way. But they're in the upper room, closed off together. They're not bold. They're not fearless. They're not world overcomers. They're frightened, self-centered, willful, discouraged. And so if you're going to look at that 120 at this point, it doesn't look good. How is the world going to be changed for Jesus Christ? And I just hate to say it, it's just many bodies, hopefully not this body. But you could say the same thing. You just look at the body. The church is dead. There's no life. There's no power. No miracles. No resurrection life. The people are dead. They're bored. It's just become a religion. And Christianity is not to be a religion. Christianity is to be alive. It's to be current. It's to be, you know, full of God's life. It's a relationship with Jesus. It's a relationship with God. It's God coming to live on the inside of us and filling us up to overflowing. It's something that we can't contain, that we've got to share, and we've got to give to those in our world. And it may, and most likely will compel you to go. Some it'll compel you to go to other cities and other states and other nations because you can't contain it. We need Pentecost. We need the supernatural. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be clothed with the Holy Spirit. We need to be clothed with miraculous power. That's God's plan. That's God's will. That's who we are. This is not an option. And so today, if you're not on fire, if you're like moving away from God, I'm going to tell you today, that's not the direction. That's not who you are. Especially if you're filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. Something has happened. There's been a disconnection. Because if the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of you and clothes you in His power, how can you not be on fire for Him? So it's the world. It's lack of fellowship with the Father. It's not maybe not realizing who you are, not being aware of it. We need Pentecost power. We need a Pentecost Sunday every Sunday, every day. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You need Pentecost power." So you get the picture of this 120 people of where they're at. Now let's go over to Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, we're not waiting anymore on it. It's fully come. It has already come. It came 2,000 years ago. The endowment of power. It's already come. And look at the impact. They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. In a moment, excuse me just one second, I'm taking a little break. Pause. In a moment, this 120 was transformed. They were blown out of that room onto the street, And Peter, the one who denied Christ three times. Peter, the one that went back to fishing. Peter, who never seemed to get what Jesus was talking about. Get behind me, Satan. Peter. They're blown out of the upper room. They're not amongst the people. There's people are attracted to them by hearing other languages and the noises and all the things that are happening. They think they're drunk. These are timid, fearful people, and now they think they're drunk. You know, I can't even act like I'm... I mean, I used to be able to do it pretty good, but I don't know how to act like it now, but... Can someone come up here and demonstrate what a drunk... Peter preaches the gospel... Preaches the gospel, and 3,000 people are saved. I say that's a pretty good day. But it's a demonstration to us of what God wants to do to people that are filled with the Holy Spirit. He'll get you out of your comfort zone. He'll transform you. He'll change you. He'll make an ordinary person extraordinary. Then you got Peter and John going to the gate called Beautiful. Now they're no longer shut up in their room. They're going to open prayer. They come to this lame man. He's been lame since birth. You know the story. Silver and gold I don't have. Doesn't mean they don't have money. They just don't have... Let's see what I got on me today right now. Got a few dollars. It's not a lot though. But I think I am. I'm worth more than this. But gives them what they really need. In the name of Jesus. He's given us that name. Given in the name. Not my name or my power. In the name of Jesus. And grabbed him and picked him up. And he was healed. And it caused a commotion, and they, Peter and John are brought before the Sanhedrin and threatened. Then they go back, you know, they're let go, and they go back to their company. And then what happens? They begin to pray about it. They begin to pray about boldness. Look at the prayers now. It's not like come take us and get us out of this, you know, place and take us to heaven and all these different things. They're praying about miracles. They're praying about boldness. And the place where they're at shakes. Come on, we need some shaking today. We need some buildings to shake. We need your lives to shake. Now look at, put up Acts 4. Now, after I said all of that, look at what a church of dynamis power looks like. Now, the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness. Remember the purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? To give witness? Great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. Susie, are you just about ready? Because we talked about tag teaming today, and I forgot to tell you that I may be calling on you today. So you just be ready. Lord, just help Susie right now. We are not to be a weak, barely get by, mamby-pamby. You know what I'm talking about, Frank? Mamby-pamby. Do you want to be called that in the military?
No, sir.
I have no idea what it means, but it just doesn't sound good. He's so mamby-pamby. That just doesn't sound good. Well, whatever that is, we don't want to be that. I don't want to have that on my tombstone. Talks about the disciples filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So, today let's shake it up. Today, let's stir it up. Today, let's get back on track if we've gotten off track. Today, let's start talking about, if you don't preach it, if you don't talk about it, and that's one of our problems, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit in our houses. I don't even want to know what we're talking about. A lot of it's a bunch of foolishness. And we need to get back. We need to get back fellowshiping with each other. We need to get back to talking about these things. We need to start talking about miracles. We need to start encouraging each other to be bold. If we don't do it, it's not going to happen. We don't talk about it, it's not going to happen. And this is not a condemnation, but we had probably the least people for prayer that we've ever had. Ever. And, and again, I don't go by numbers. There's some amazing things that happen. But it's just a sign, I guess, of some people, because they just don't realize what prayer and the Holy Spirit will do for you. We want to try everything else. And it's just getting into it. And again, I'm not saying there's not natural things to do, but we want to try everything else except God's way. And I was there, and I wasn't there all 21 days. But I got my journal. Every day, he's speaking to me. Every time, speaking to me about the future, about things to come, encouraging, prayed about different things in my life, different people that I'm connected with. And, just the peace that it gives you. But what's happened is we're just trying to do, we got this miraculous power. But we're trying to do everything in our own strength, in our own abilities. And what's that producing? What's that producing in our families, in our marriages, in our kids, in our finances? Your house, my house, this house, we need Pentecost power.
Praise the Lord. Okay, there we go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Go to Acts chapter 2. I want to point out something that Peter said. Jesus said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Say out loud, I have power. The Holy Spirit has come upon me. Boy, that's a lot of enthusiasm in that. I have power. Us better. You have power. I do think we've neglected to consider the power that we have. One of the things that happened when we were in prayer, yesterday morning we were in prayer, and I asked her about it today, and she didn't even know what I was talking about, but Tanya was praying, and she was praying, I was listening to her, because that's one of the things I love about corporate prayer is we feed off of each other. We pray together. And she was praying in English, and I heard her saying, If we only knew what we had, if we only could see what we have, oh, nothing would hold us back. Everything would be different. She just is praying this way, and it was really encouraging me. I asked her about it today. She had no idea what I was talking about. I said, well, maybe you weren't even speaking in English. Maybe it was just for me. Maybe I just heard it, you know. But she was just praying that. And I was mentioned that this morning because that's the truth. If we only knew, if we only knew. I think we just neglect this great, great gift we have in Christ Jesus, this gift that he's given us, the Holy Spirit, that he came, he left so he could send us the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that Joel had prophesied and the thing that Peter went to on the day of Pentecost to say, this is that the prophet Joel years ago, hundreds of years ago, prophesied about is what we're seeing today. And look at verse 17 is when he starts to talk about and describe what's happening, this great powerful outpouring. And he, but it says in verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. This is for everybody. And I think this is really important to know, because there's been a misconception in the body of Christ where people think, oh, for some people, there's this special gift where maybe they have these manifestations, or some people can receive. I've heard people say, well, you have the gift of tongues, but I don't have it, or someone else, they have that, or whatever it is. Let me just say to you, when everything that was happening and the prominent thing that they were seeing was, well, they were hearing people speak in unknown languages that they didn't have knowledge of. They were speaking in what the Bible describes as other tongues. And then they were seeing them, their flesh was so affected that they looked like they were drunk. They weren't drunk, and that's what Peter was correcting. These people aren't drunk. This is God's power on them, and this is what it looks like, how it manifests, is that they're so, like, not. Let me just ask you this. How many of y'all saw any part of the royal wedding yesterday? One of the most outstanding things about the royal wedding, which I saw much later, not just, I saw clips. You see the clergy from the Anglican Church talking, and it's all written out, and they're just, I'm reading this thing in this very calm voice. And you don't look at that and think anybody's drunk. You don't look at that and think anybody's like, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, here's a bunch of, can I just say it, old white men reading these words, you know, and you're like, okay, you know, it's sort of that stereotype of the British that, at least I have. Maybe you can correct me later for harboring something, but I'm just saying, it's just like, and there they are, a little bit cold and that. And then you have this young, well, he was as old as they were, but he had a lot more life to him. I guess he was a bishop, Michael Curry. And he started talking, and it showed the faces in the crowd. And the crowd was, that was the funniest part. What he said was great, but the crowd was like, I mean, the British version of that, you know, which was, you know, one eyebrow up maybe. But to me, they were going, what is this? Because it was a difference there. There was something else happening. I don't even know why I'm telling this. Okay, yeah. But that is what was going on this day. They were used to people acting this one certain way. But when the Spirit of God came on them, it was that different. It made everybody go, what are these guys doing? What is it? So that's what it was, is there was life there. And they just thought, maybe they're drunk, because that's not the way we act.
This is the way we act.
And the way they were acting was not like that. And they're like, what's going on? They must be drunk, because only drunk people would do that. But verse 17, this is what he says. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And then he goes on to say, so this is what we're seeing is God's Spirit poured out on all flesh. But then it goes on to say, but your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. And to prophesy is just divine utterances. It means God has given you words in your known language. God, you're not just speaking your own stuff anymore. You're speaking God's stuff. You're not just speaking for yourself, but the Holy Spirit's inspiring you to say something. And y'all, there's a big difference between you just, you know, speaking what man thinks is a good idea and what God's inspiring you to say. There's a big difference. And he says this is going to happen for all flesh, sons and daughters, that men and women, boys and girls, all of us have this ability for God to speak through us. How else are we going to be witnesses if God isn't speaking through us? How else are we going to share the reality of who he is and what he's done and what it means to know him unless he inspires us? Because our human way of speaking is just so insufficient to express God, his work. And then he goes on to say, these are the two things I want to say. Your young men shall see visions. Visions are, doesn't mean you have hallucinations. A vision is a happening that is to come. It's something you see before you. It's something that, it's a picture that's out in front of you. It may be something you see with these eyes, but more often it's something you see in here with your spiritual eyes. And it's a seeing of something that is not yet. It's out in front of you. Now, this is for you today. This is what was going on with them. And I know a lot of times when on Pentecost Sunday, we may emphasize something like speaking in tongues. But we're talking about God's power and what it produces in your life. It produces you speaking God's utterances to, you know, into your world and into your life and to people. And then you seeing visions. And then it goes on to say, and old men shall dream dreams. There's these, this isn't talking specifically about you now lay me down to sleep and you have some kind of happening in you. It may happen that way, but most often visions and dreams happen. There's something that starts bubbling up inside of you that's inspired by God, and you start seeing something in here that God, by his power, through the Holy Spirit, wants to make real out here. Now, one of the things that we should expect, because we are people who have been endued with power from on high, we are people who are clothed with God himself. We are people that God has come in and filled us until we overflow. One of the things that we should expect, that we should see, that we should experience, is visions and dreams from God. Something coming, bubbling up inside of us and coming up and pouring out. One reason we haven't seen power is because we have no vision. We have no dream of it. We don't hear much about it. We don't meditate on it. The world sure isn't dishing it up for us. And to be honest, the church isn't talking much about it. So there's no vision of it, no dream of it. There's no hope of it. We don't expect much. Y'all, God wants you to have a vision of him working, doing supernatural things through you and in you. And it might be as simple as a vision of you, you know, just being more of a witness for him in your life. You being more friendly to the people in your neighborhood or the people on your job and you reaching out. It just might be you just start seeing yourself as bolder. It might be that simple. Or it might be something really specific. It might be you see yourself in a room full of people and you're sharing your testimony to them. It might be that you see Tony Tanton, somebody like him who God just worked. He shared a few weeks ago, he shared about how God brought him out. He was at a very low place and thought he had no reason to live and was contemplating ending his life. And God brought him out of that and he shares, I need to share this with other people who have no hope. It might be something that specific, like people who have come to the end of themselves and you see yourself ministering to them or other things that God might be working in you. I don't want to tell you your vision because I'm not the one who gives you your vision, but the one who gives you your vision is in you. And he's been giving you clues all along. Sometimes, though, we ignore those and we don't know what they are. We don't realize that's God. We just think it's us. Y'all, God's got something for you, a vision for you, a dream for you. And it's going to require supernatural power. You're not going to get to fulfill his purpose and plan without trusting him for his power to come on the scene and bring change and to make you able and to embolden you and strengthen you. This is all part of how God's power works in our lives. It's not just like a flash of lightning, boing, you know. No, the so often Paul talked about it, that God's power was to strengthen us. And we see God's power, when the God's power is poured out, it emboldened them. It changed them from that mamby-pamby weak, whatever that is, into bold people, passionate people, people who just didn't care anymore. That they would get up and they would say, this is the deal, just like Peter and John did after they were questioned for what, you know, what happened with the man at the gate. Beautiful. And Peter's like, look, I don't know what's going on here. You know, here we are. All I know is we can't help it. We can't help but tell you what we saw, what we heard. This is it. You know, it's all I got. This is my testimony. This is my story. This is my song. This is it. And those are our people, man. And you got a story. You got something. And I don't know. I just feel like we lose our voice because we have lost the vision. We've lost the, we don't see it anymore. We don't recognize, first of all, we're just taking it for granted. Y'all, you used to be a big old mess. And he's brought you out, and you just take it for granted where you are. So that's part of the deal. But then you don't see where he's taking you to. We've just kind of come out far enough to be comfortable, and we don't have that birthing of that vision inside of his power flowing through us and our lives being so used of him and consumed with him and consumed by him that we're speaking for him and doing things that we don't think we can do. And y'all, I'm gonna just tell you, just from my own experience, these visions, the visions of God, the dreams of God, they just flash across you. You know, I didn't know I was called to full-time ministry. I had no clue, really, like, that I was conscious of until I was almost 30 years old. But all through, along those times, I had moments where I saw things. I remember being at chapel at ORU, it wasn't the chapel service, in Kennedy Chapel it was called, as named for my family. That's what I told people, but it wasn't really true. But anyway, I was there in Kennedy Chapel, and it was a little chapel, and we'd have communion there at noon every day, and I remember being in there, and I was praying. And I remember in just that those times of prayer, just similar to what we've had here during these 21 days in times of prayer, and I remember being there, and I had my eyes closed, and I remember, and I saw my hands, and I had, what caught my attention were the sleeves. I had on a dress and sleeves on my dress that were kind of hanging down. And I was looking at my sleeves. This just was going on as I prayed. And then I looked out and my hands were out like, and I saw faces of people. I saw people out in front of me like this. And I realized I was up talking in front of people. And of course I was moving my hands a lot. And that's why the whole thing with the sleeves was getting my attention. I just saw that. And y'all, and in that moment, it scared me. I was like, well, I don't want to see that. I don't know what that's about, but I don't want to see that again. Not sure I want to go there, but that was God perking up inside of me. I think you may have had things like that, and they scared you too. These visions and dreams. But it was only by God's power that that could go from being me, you know, in that little room at ORU to standing in front of people and talking. It's only by God's power. For you, it's only God's by God's power. It's not just being drunk or speaking in other tongues. Y'all, it's doing works for him. It's not just laying hands on the sick, though it does include that. It isn't just raising somebody up, though it does include that. It's just doing his works, all of his works, bearing witness for him. Whatever it is that he's going to use you to do, that endowment of power to do what he's called you to do, and he's going to show you, and he is showing you, and he has shown you. It's a vision. Y'all, Frank, you didn't just graduate because, you know, you needed to get a piece of paper so your daddy'd be proud. God brings us along and enables us to do something because he's got a purpose behind it. He's got purpose for you. That purpose is the vision. The purpose is the dream. It's an impact for the kingdom. There's more for you. You're somebody in the kingdom. God's poured his spirit out on you. God is upon you. His power is upon you to do great works for the kingdom, for His glory. And it's beyond. It's beyond what you can conceive of. It's beyond what you can think up or conjure, what your mama can tell you. It's beyond that. It's something the Holy Spirit, He shows you. He paints it within you. And if you will spend time in His presence, He'll just begin to show you. And you might be like me and be a little bit afraid and be real afraid, and so much that you're like, not that again. But if you'll spend time with Him and just let Him begin to lead and guide, He'll paint things within you, and then He'll paint them out here. Supernaturally, His power. He's got works for you to do. He's got plans for you. And that's one of the things the Holy Spirit, it's interesting, that's what Peter went straight to. Peter didn't go straight to explaining, you know, all about what it meant to speak in tongues. Peter went to saying, look, y'all, there's visions and dreams God's got for all of us. I wonder if the vision and the dream, I wonder if that, you know, Philip, who went down to Samaria, remember? What about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? That was something he saw in just a moment, but that was only one little moment of him seeing himself running down and joining himself with that man, that African man, and explaining the gospel to him and baptizing him and then being called away. That was just one little part of Philip's ministry. God had a big, big, big plan for what He was going to do. And he kept... What about Paul? When Jesus appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus and He said, look, what you've been doing is not the way. I got a plan for you. And He sent him down to, you know, Ananias. And all then that God began to work in Paul's life, he had to change he had to give him that vision for his life. That was not the vision Paul had for his life. Paul's vision for his life was to kill Christians. God gave him a whole different vision. Raise them up. Go to the Gentiles. Make churches. It's a whole different vision. That's mighty acts of the Holy Spirit, if you ask me. That's a mighty act of the Holy Spirit. So don't let's just limit God's power to a certain particular act of a moment, of a miracle like the gate. Beautiful. That was certainly the Holy Spirit. But y'all, I'm talking about a life of power. I'm talking about a transformed life where God comes in and on you and begins to lead you in a whole nother way and gives you a vision and gives you visions and gives you dreams that take you and take your life in a whole nother direction. And then He begins to manifest His power through you and you change. You become a different person like these people did. They became different people. That's you. But we stay, we tend to, the temptation is to stay very close to who we once were, but maybe a little cleaned up version. Maybe a church-going version of who we used to be, as opposed to really just letting that vision, make us who He wants us to be, who He intends for us to be. Are you hungry for that at all in your life? I remember, this is one of my favorite little stories. I don't know what, it just popped in my head. I'll share it with you. John Wimber, the founder of the Vineyard Movement and church planting movement, Vineyard Churches now, he's gone on to be with the Lord, but he was just strung out on drugs in Southern California, just, you know, no hope. And Jesus got a hold of him. He met up with some crazy Jesus freak kind of people. And then he got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he went to church with them. And he could not wait to get to church because he had experienced God's power and the freedom from the bondage of all the sin he was living in. And, oh, he knew freedom. And he gets to church, and he's thinking, man, this is going to be something. And he gets to the service, and he goes to the service, and they come to the end of the service, and service dismisses. And he's standing there in service. and he's looking around. He's thinking about what his life was like, and then he thinks about what Jesus did, and then now what he just experienced at church. And he looked at a man who had brought him, and he said, "This? I gave up drugs for this?" It wasn't a compliment. This? Y'all, you didn't give up drugs just for this. I actually gave up drugs. Some of you are still to give them up, but you too can be free. You didn't give up drugs just to come and... God saved you to fill you, to know you, to use you, to work through you, to save others so that they can know him, so we can fill them, he can use them, so that others can be saved and he can know them and they can be used so that others, that was his plan. And when we stop with, "Oh, well, we're saved, we're more comfortable," we really thwart the plan of God. We cut off his work. We stop what he intended to happen. Let's not do that.